You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord, for He is
good. Yes, He is good. As a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also, be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Welcome to another hour of Declaring the Finished Work. You're listening to the When Christians Speak Talk Radio Network. Amen. And so we are excited about today's broadcast today. Mm-hmm. Amen. I have a special guest co-host with me, Stephanie Hill, and she's actually now in Calgary, Canada, you know, and we're all under lockdown. And
we're
under
all in the same boat.
We're all in the same boat. Amen, amen. And Jesus is in the boat with us.
He's in the boat with us.
Hey, amen. And also my daughter is also with us today, joining us in this conversation on hope and rest. And Jordana Cunningham, you want to shout out?
Hey, everybody.
Amen. Amen. So before we get started, I'd like, Stephanie, for you to tell us a little bit about the Imagine Church, about the ministry, about your husband, who is the pastor of the church, and anything else that is on your heart to open up with. Amen. On the broadcast. Oh, also, before you get started talking about the ministry and what's happening in Canada, would you open up the broadcast with prayer? We want to clear the airways, make sure that there is no hindrances, no weapons formed. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead.
God, thank you. Thank you that we get to join together. God, we just welcome your Holy Spirit, and we just thank you for the winds of the Spirit to blow, and that today we are going to catch the wind, and we are going to follow you, and thank you, God. I really have a sense that you're going to lead us into breakthrough today, that there's going to be a shifting of mindsets There's going to be limiters that are removed. There's going to be truth that floods in and brings liberty and freedom. And so we just posture our hearts. We open our hearts to you, Holy Spirit. And we say, move like only you can do. We ask for encounters with you and your love today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Praise God. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about Imagine Church and what's going on in Canada. Amen.
Well, it's such an honor to be here with you, Pat and Jordana. I remember meeting you 4 years ago now, I think. And we were in line. It was L.A. Coliseum. And we were in line for an event called Azusa Now. And we, all different shapes, sizes, all around the world. I remember the Koreans that came with their shofars. It was just so neat. All the different international people that gathered with one heart and hunger to see God move. And that's where I met both of you. And we were in line for hours waiting to get into the Coliseum. And it was really neat because God just knit our hearts together in that moment. And Pat, we sat together for 15 hours.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
We worshiped, we interceded, we prayed, we tarried. Jordana, you shared snacks. Your grandma was sitting, you know, beside you in the front. You were sitting ahead of me. And it was just such an incredible honor to meet you and to worship with you. And at that time, we didn't know each other, but it was like in the spirit we connected and we got each other's information. And from that point on, I think you invited me on this broadcast 2 months later. And so it's such an incredible honor to be back on this broadcast. And so even though I'm in Canada, you guys are in the States. There's generational differences. There's all of these kinds of things. We have been knit together as one. And that's what I love about the body of Christ, how he connects hearts.
Right.
And so when I met you, Pat, I was in a season of transition. My husband and I, we had had a real estate business for the past 13 years. And God was shifting things underneath us. And he was inviting us back into ministry in a church form and leading a church at that time we didn't know, but it was going to be Imagine Church. And it's been such an incredible pleasure and honor leading this amazing group of people. And so our church is really simple. It's love God, love people, and impact culture. And we meet in the belly of the Calgary Dream Center. And so it's a addiction and recovery center ministering and bringing hope into those areas of society. And it has a lot of favor with the city. And so our people, we meet in the bottom of that facility. We're very connected to the mission upstairs with us. In fact, we're just releasing a hope campaign, I Choose Hope, and we're feeding this all over into the city. So that's just a recent initiative. We really feel like in the darkest hour, it's God's people that are called to rise and shine and bring that message of hope. And so we are just stepping forward into that invitation from the Lord, and we feel it is for our city. We really are a group of reformers. So it's this reformation idea of how can we impact the different spheres of society and bring kingdom. And that's what we do. So we have an incredibly eclectic group from people that have been off the street and sober for 1 week. They are sitting side by side worshiping with our PhD doctor, our business people, our entrepreneurs, our creatives. We are all one family. And it's such a beautiful honor to lead this group of people because we are hungry for his presence.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. So you know what? I'm gonna kick this off with a scripture that I was led to actually just moments before. I mean, I've got like a bunch of scriptures and I don't know how many, because I love the word of God.
Me too.
And
I love
I don't
the word.
Yeah, I have so many scriptures, but I know that we probably won't get through many of them, as especially as we get to dissect what it really means to have this hope, the mm-hmm. source of the hope, and how it connects with our faith, and how it mm-hmm. also connects with resting in God, because mm-hmm. that's where we want to end up. We want to end up in that place where we are resting in God. So I am going to read from actually, Hebrews, you know what, I didn't even put down, Hebrews 6, yeah, that's what it is.
Hebrews 6, that's a good one.
It's Hebrews 6, okay, so listeners, open up your Bible app or pick up your Bible, and let's go to Hebrews 6. I'm going to be reading an amplified version of it, and I'm going to start in verse 13. And I'm going to read about four or five scriptures, and then we'll jump off from there.
Amen.
For when God made the promise to Abraham, he swore an oath by himself, since he had no mm-hmm. one greater by whom to swear, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And so, having patiently waited, he realized mm-hmm. the promise. In the miraculous birth of Isaac as a pledge mm-hmm. of what was to come from God. Indeed, mm-hmm. men swear an oath by one greater than themselves, and with them in all disputes, the oath serves as confirmation of what has been said and is an end of the dispute. In the same way, God, in his desire to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable nature of his purpose, intervened mm-hmm. and guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, in which it is impossible for God to lie, mm-hmm. we who have fled him for refuge would have strong encouragement and indwelling strength to hold tightly to the hope set before us. This mm-hmm. hope, this confident assurance, we have as an anchor mm-hmm. of the soul. It cannot slip, and it cannot break down under whatever pressure bears upon it. A safe and steadfast hope that enters within the veil of the heavenly temple, that most holy place in which the very presence of God dwells. Amen and amen. So what did you hear as I was reading those scriptures? Anyone?
Well, I'll just begin, and Jordan, feel free to jump in at any time. But what I definitely heard was how God is unchangeable, and his faithfulness is what makes something unbreakable. We are anchored, our souls are anchored to God himself. And how you concluded that our anchor of hope is fastened to the mercy seat, which sits in the heavenly realm beyond the sacred threshold. So that means that mm-hmm. our hope mm-hmm. is actually anchored not in this world, but in another realm. And we know that that realm is him. So when our hope is anchored in that place, that eternal place, we have an unshakable faith, and it is truly unbreakable. And this is the true hope that we have in Jesus. So that's what I heard this this beyond that sacred threshold, this it translates out of this realm into the eternal realm.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. The first thing that I felt when you were reading it, more than the words that were actually spoken, was the feeling of groundedness.
Good.
You know how, and you have to be in relationship to understand it, but it is when you hear truth and mm-hmm. and when it resonates within you, it like grounds you to itself. Like I felt like encouraged. Like I even did a little shimmy where I'm sitting right now because it was just really good. And I felt grounded to that word. One of the things that stuck out to me definitely was also what Stephanie said about being unshakable. And of course, because thinking about the time that we're in now and everything that is, you know, happening in the world naturally, spiritually, the importance of grounding yourself to truth so that when seasons come and things become difficult, both, again, naturally and spiritually, that we are grounded to truth.
That is
Amen.
So good, Jordana.
Amen.
That is so good. Have you ever noticed the moment hope does fill us, the moment that you hear and believe truth? Like you heard the truth. And
yeah.
you felt that grounding and that anchoring.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's good.
Amen. Amen.
I love like John, just to speak that John 8:32 says, "For if you embrace the truth, it will release more freedom into your lives." And so I really believe that people are going to hear the word of God today, and they're going to hear truth. There's going to be a liberty and a freedom that begins to wash over people, and hopelessness is going to just fall off. It is.
Yeah.
That is what's going to happen.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Let's keep
Amen.
Going.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. The call is to move out of the shallow places
mm-hmm.
and go deeper into the waters of God. And I think about when I first started the journey with the Lord, how I stayed in the shallow parts because
mm-hmm.
there still was this part of me that was holding on to the things of the world. And also being in, at that time when I, because I'm much older than my counterparts on the broadcast today. In fact, I'm almost 70. It's almost hard to believe I've lived that many decades.
Oh, that is so special.
I'm almost 70, yes. Yeah. And so I've seen Christianity move through some things,
mm-hmm.
but in the beginning, because we were so focused on behavior, it kept us
mm-hmm.
in a very shallow place.
Right.
Because we were more focused on behavior than we were on relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't really understand or were being taught about who we are now, what this
mm-hmm.
new identity is as the new creation and what that means, and about righteousness being a gift and not something that
right.
you earn, that we
right.
we could not earn it. And so what I pray will happen to the listener today, that
mm-hmm.
you will bravely and courageously step into the deeper places of the waters of God today,
mm-hmm.
as we deliver,
yeah.
as we deliver the words, as we share our experiences with God, and as He, as the Holy Spirit begins to speak, I know that you will hear something
mm-hmm.
that will cause strength
mm-hmm.
and courage and confidence
mm-hmm.
in you. That comes only from the Lord, so it'll be an unshakable
mm-hmm.
confidence,
mm-hmm.
an unshakable strength, an unshakable
yes.
courage.
because we know that in this world we are going to have trials and tribulations.
Yeah, yeah.
So we should act surprised when we're faced with them, because the Lord has told us to expect this, but he also told us how to face it, and he told us why we can confidently face it, because mm-hmm. he has overcome the world. He
yeah.
has rendered the world powerless over us and restored us to a place that we can walk in authority and power in the earth. So that was just some of the stuff that was going rolling through my mind as you guys were talking. Amen.
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 You know,
so I'm gonna,
when you were talking
yeah.
when you were talking about that, Romans 5 verse 3-5 just popped in, was highlighted to me. I'm just going to read it in the Passion Translation. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. So just when you were talking about that, the deeper waters, and we will have trouble and trials and pressure and pain, but our invitation is truly our response to that. This is what the word says. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance, and patient endurance will refine our character, and proving character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So I love that cycle. I love it. It's the pressures build in us endurance,
mm-hmm.
which is the forming of Christ in us, his character, which leads us back to hope. And through that hope, we
mm-hmm.
actually encounter the endless love of God. So we're being transformed in his love. And this is the hope. This is the beauty. This is the transformation that takes place. This is the invitation when we're in hard times, like right now. He is forming in us that love of God can minister. And that's what brings us again back to this hope we have. It's not a disappointing fantasy.
No.
Amen.
No, it's not. It's not. No, it's not.
It's real. It's real.
And the only way you're going to discover it is that when you're going through these trying circumstances,
mm-hmm.
when you're
mm-hmm.
under this pressure,
yeah.
that as a don't give up.
No.
Don't allow the, I think about what I heard Pastor Paul say, don't allow the situation to speak to you, but you speak back the word
yeah.
of God to the situation,
yes.
because the word of God is higher and it's stronger,
yeah,
and it's unchanging, and it has
yes.
power and it has authority.
Amen.
And so we have to understand that. In fact, what's the scripture where it says that these light afflictions are just for a moment,
momentary? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When yeah, it's momentary. It's part of the journey. Once you accept it, because you know, I used to be in a place where it was like, you know, I would be in a good place and then something would happen.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, go through that and then I get back into a good place, and I was like, why can't it just stay? Why can't I just
mm-hmm.
stay in this
yeah.
good place where things are rosy, and you know what I mean? And I was resisting. I was resisting being tested. I was resisting being tried. I was resisting going through things. But the minute I began to realize the
mm-hmm.
true purpose and what it was doing in my life, and I began to embrace the challenges. It's all about perspective.
Amen.
And it's how you embrace those challenges and how you see them. And if you see them as an opportunity, and take your knowledge of the Word of God, because you have to know the Word of God. That's number one.
Yeah.
There's no way of getting around not knowing the Word of God, knowing it for yourself.
Right.
Because it's living. The Word is living and breathing. Jesus, and Jesus is the living Word.
Yeah.
And so whenever we grab hold of His Word, we're grabbing hold of Him.
Amen. Yeah, one of the things that I thought about in what you both said is that it is almost surprising and sometimes shocking that you can find yourselves in really hard and tight places and still have joy. And yes. You didn't even expect to have joy in the situation. You're like, wait a minute, Joy, are you here with me? Like, in this really tight spot where I should be uncomfortable and sad and downtrodden and, all of these things. But when I think about the scripture we were talking about the other day, Pat Randall and I, about taste and see that the Lord is good, is that once you begin to encounter God and develop your intimacy and your relationship with Him, that you find yourself happily so with hope and joy in situations that seem hopeless and joyless. And it is, and that's what we need in not just this season, but every season of your life.
Every
because
season.
when your government doesn't have the answer, and when your doctor doesn't have the answer, and when your bank account doesn't have the answer, you have the truth that can anchor you again, that grounding beyond the external circumstances.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
Amen. Amen. And so hope is trying, it's really hard because we're not talking about the hope that people have in the world because it's not really anchored in anything other than their imagination, what's in their
mind.
Well,
because the thing is that shakes and moves, right? That shakes and moves.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that you... If it's in a job, if it's in a person, if it's in your home, if it's, if anything that isn't anchored in that eternal, it does shake and move. And so our hope is unshakable.
Right, right. And so that's when you can begin to wait with joy and with confidence and with great expectation because you're trusting in the one who never changes. See, this world is constantly changing.
Good.
We watch our culture change. We watch laws change. What was illegal now is legal. I mean, it's just, if everything just keeps changing, it changes in this world. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And once I put a question out on Facebook, and what I said is, what is more real to you, this world or the kingdom of God? And that's where you have to answer that question for yourself. What is more real in your life? Is it what's going on in this world? Is that more real to you than the kingdom of God? And I want to encourage the listeners today that when you pursue God, and you're really only pursuing Him in your mind because He's already present, He may seem far away, but it's only in your mind that He's far away. So you're actually mentally pursuing Him because you've got to direct and focus your mind in such a way that it meets and connects in that spirit realm. Because that's where everything is. It's in the spirit realm. Everything that we see first came out of the unseen. And just think about it as this, a building.
it existed as a thought, a plan in someone's mind before it actually manifested in the natural. Everything here is something that started in the unseen realm. And so we have to begin to shift our perspective from the things that we see that are constantly changing and into that place where God is, where you can have confidence that you know what the outcome is going to be.
Right.
He's already told us that we were more than conquerors, and we're more than conquerors because he's already conquered. So we're walking in what he has conquered. He has given us this. He has done this for us. It's you. If you hear the term that's used a lot now is the finished work. He has actually done everything is already done. And we wrestle and we strive so hard for things that are already there. And, you know, the scripture tells us if he didn't withhold his son, his only begotten, that he would not withhold any good thing from us. Jesus is evidence of how the Father feels about us. Some of us can be more receptive to Jesus than we are to the Father because we've got maybe image or relationship issues when it comes to the relationship father, father-son, father-daughter, whatever. But the Father, when Jesus was on the cross, the Father was there reconciling the world to himself. Jesus demonstrated the Father's heart toward us. So we no longer have to be afraid of punishment. We talked about this yesterday, Stephanie, about punishment.
We sure did.
Because every time we do something wrong, every time we sin, we're so consumed with the punishment. And we feel that we don't deserve, that God can't do anything for us because we've sinned, because we've fallen short. But the word tells us that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. So how does that match up with your thought about if I sin, then, you know, he's not going to hear my prayers. He's not going to do anything for me. He's not going to deliver me because I haven't been that great. I haven't been that good. So while we were yet sinners, he died for us. So spend time meditating on things like that. Because what you're seeing is the heart of God. It's the heart of God that you see in that circumstance of someone dying for you, taking your place, taking the judgment that was meant for you. Jesus took that. Spend time thinking
about
that, because that'll fill you with that hope, you know, because God's love for us is so perfect. It is so much better than I can even imagine. Okay? And as I grow in the Lord and as I move through these processes, I just see, I'm just always amazed at how much he loves us.
Yeah, yeah. Question. So for those who are listening, Stephanie, if they are liking what they are hearing, if they're like, but how do I get there? How do I get to a place where even now I want hope and I want rest? How would we instruct people into coming into that place?
Well, so for those that haven't, number one, the starting point of that is simply
accepting Jesus to be their Savior. So if you have not done that part yet, that's step one. And it's just saying, Jesus, I need you. I want you in my life. I want personal relationship with you. I invite you to be my friend. I accept the love that you have for me. And I accept the liberty and the freedom of being freed from sin, shame, and death. And it's just through a yes, Lord. It's through a yes. Those
Amen.
Of the listeners that do know Jesus, that have mm-hmm. walked with him. I love, Pat, when you said no good thing will he withhold. It's truly the beauty of the good thing. Of hope, by definition, is the expectation of something good.
Mm-hmm.
That is hope by definition. And so in any part of our lives where we feel hopeless, we are actually believing a lie. Mm-hmm. And so we need
right.
Holy Spirit to identify those lies that we've been believing. And those lies can really get floated over us by it is the accuser. So just like we have mm-hmm. a Father in heaven who loves us so deeply, we have the accuser that accuses us day and night, telling us what all of the things and undermining that very truth of God's goodness in our lives. So there's
mm-hmm.
there's lies
mm-hmm.
that come. And so whenever we are in pain or uncertainty, the first thing the enemy tries to do is float a lie. And the only way that lie can take hold and root is if we believe it.
Yeah.
And one of the primary lies I see the enemy sowing in his people is God doesn't care. He doesn't care about what I'm going through. He doesn't care about what I feel. He doesn't care that I'm alone right now. I need to figure this out by myself. And then there's a separation that takes place.
Yeah,
because we are
definitely.
All of a sudden separating ourselves. God is pursuing us day and night. He's knocking on the door, but it's us turning around to open that door. And
mm-hmm.
I love in Mark where it really articulates as well when they're in the storm. We talked about we're on the same boat, and we're in and Peter, the storm begins to hit, and Peter's first question when the winds and the waves came up and his their very lives Peter believed were threatened and Jesus was sleeping, he runs to Jesus and he wakes up Jesus and he says, do you not care that we are going to die?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of us, we do like have that question for God, where are you? Why have you left
right.
me alone? But that is actually not truth. That is a lie. And Jesus' response was, why are you so afraid? Haven't you learned to trust yet? So, Jordana,
mm-hmm.
this is a big full circle question, answer to your question. It's a yieldedness and a surrender of trusting him. I trust you. I don't understand, but I believe that you are good. Renew
yeah.
my mind today. You know, we transform our tomorrow by renewing our minds today. And it's not so much we need a new set of circumstances. We need a new set of beliefs rooted and grounded in the fact that he is good. And that flow of power and blessing that comes in our lives can be greatly hindered and blocked because we believe lies. So personal breakthrough and breakthrough in our circumstance comes as a result of intentionally renewing our minds with truth, with
yeah.
his word, his promises, his voice. Jesus says in Matthew 4:4, bread alone will not satisfy. A true life is found in every word which constantly flows from the mouth of God. What is God saying about you? What is God saying about your circumstance? What has he given you in the word of God that is your promise to anchor yourself to?
Mm-hmm.
So even if the circumstance does not line up, we don't line up with our circumstance. We line up with the word of God, and we can anchor ourselves in every word that flows from his mouth. And so, God, I right now, there's a moment, show us the lies that we have been believing, where
yes,
we
Lord,
have partnered
thank you,
with lies, and they have acted as blockages to your blessings. And your heart's desire, you love us so much, you want to remove those blockages so we can receive the breakthroughs, we can receive the promises that you have for us. Our names are on them. You
thank
have
you,
them
Jesus.
but since the foundations of the world, you have called us and you have equipped us. So, God, I ask that you would expose those lies that we have partnered with, remove them, bring liberty and freedom, and let hope flood in and let faith arise in your people. In Jesus' name. That was a good question, Jordana. That was a good question.
Amen. Amen. Well, to nutshell that, because I'm a nutshell person.
You're a nutshell girl. You're good.
Listen, for those of you all who listen, say yes to Jesus, step one.
Say yes to Jesus.
And step two, think another thought. Open your Bible, pick a good word, and chew on it over and over again until you start to believe it.
Amen. You are good with this bottom line. Yes, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And, you know, and the other thing, too, is, of where I, in my own personal life, where I start to really make strides in my spiritual growth and also in stabilizing my soul and anchoring my soul to the spirit realm, because your soul is, you know, your mind and your emotions and your body. I mean, that has to be anchored to the spirit realm, so that, because it'll have a calming effect on your emotions and on your thought life. And the other thing I would encourage you to do is start to, because emotions don't come out of nowhere. You don't just wake up and certain emotions come. There are certain thoughts are what lead to the emotions. Emotions don't just appear out of nowhere.
No.
They come from a series of thoughts that you've been thinking. So you need to start monitoring, really. So once I started to pay attention to what I was thinking, and then I began to question that thought. Like, okay, can I find anything in the Word of God that would support what I was just thinking? Right. And if I can't, what it means is that this is a thought that will only limit me and cause lack in my life. And God has already told us in His Word that we can choose life or we can choose death. Mm-hmm. And we do it by choosing what we're thinking, because the more time you spend on a lie, it begins to get anchored into your soul, and then when truth comes, that lie pops up, and it acts like a wall to keep that truth from coming in. So you really have to really practice this thing, so that, you know, you've got to commit yourself to your own liberty.
Yes.
I mean, do you really want to be free? Do you really want to know what this joy of the Lord is? Do you really want to know how to have stable emotions and be able to stand no matter what circumstance comes in your way? You've got to really, really want that for your life. And you've got to really look at your life and see where you are based on decisions and thoughts and things that you have done that have brought you to the place, and you see that they're not working. God is offering you something better, much better, much better, much better. You know, I was reminded of the scripture that I will share it with Jordana about the wisdom of God, because in these times that's what we need. Also, we need God's wisdom. And it was James 3:17, and it says, but the wisdom of God is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy,
without partiality and without hypocrisy.
Wow.
And you really have to be in a place of hope to, so that you, because hope puts mm-hmm. you in a positive place where it clears out the cobwebs so that you can
yeah.
begin to hear and see things that you would not have seen. Because there are things that, you know, we see and we judge it
mm-hmm.
from an incorrect perspective.
Yeah. It's like a we need our hope glasses mm-hmm. on to see clearly. Otherwise,
yeah,
there's a distortion to the
yes.
image.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. Well, I love that.
Your hope
put your hope
on,
glasses
right?
on.
That's a nutshell. That's a good nutshell.
That's a nutshell.
Hope glasses
that's
on.
A nutshell.
Put your hope glasses on, so you can see.
So we
can
see.
Because you know, God already knows. God knew that this, all of this stuff was going to be happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He already knows. So he's already prepared everything that we need for this moment.
Amen.
Lord, I
yeah.
thank you that during this time that people's faith is being elevated by the words
yes,
that they're hearing, the truth that is going forth, and it's elevating their
mm-hmm.
faith. It's elevating their trust in you,
yes,
understanding that you're good. You're good,
you
and every
God.
Good and perfect gift comes
yes,
from you, Lord. So I thank you. I thank you that right now I just speak this elevation of
yes,
faith
God.
And trust.
Yes, God, take us out.
In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
We
amen. One of the other things that I know has been super important in my relationship with God and in maintaining hope and rest is worship.
Yes.
And
yes.
that looks experience will look different from my worship experience, but I find that when I am in a place of worship and when I am worshiping consistently, that it is
mm-hmm.
much easier for me to stay in a place of hope and rest because I'm focusing on the one who has
yes.
hope and I'm focusing on the
yes.
one that is joy. And so,
mm-hmm.
and I also use that not just, you know, spiritually to stay, you know, internally at peace at all times. But I even use that in my relationships. I want to say, I know I've been talking to my BFFs and, you know, we're all quarantining home with our families
mm-hmm.
and we all in tight spaces and we used to be in a apart
mm-hmm.
from each other.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, the flesh is real, okay? And so we are all in different places. And so it is important. And I was telling my girlfriends that one of the things that I do is that even if I am like annoyed or I'm finding myself in a funky attitude, especially like, you know, if you're married, one of the things that I like
mm-hmm.
to do is when my husband is sleeping, I pray for him. I like just lay my hand on him while he's sleeping.
Ooh,
and
good.
I pray for him. And what it does for me is when you are, and you're not praying to change that person, you're praying earnestly because
yes.
this person, your spouse, is a child of God
mm-hmm.
who was, you know, born with purpose and born with gifts
mm-hmm.
and talents and,
amen.
You know, and who also needs, you know, encounters with God and deepening their intimacy and relationship and all of those things. So when you start to earnestly pray over someone, those feelings, those negative feelings and emotions that you may have had just like naturally fall off. So not only does it work, worship doesn't only work just internally to keep you centered and at peace at all times, but even when you think about interpersonal relationships, so people that you're
yes.
dealing with, people that you're in relationship, worship, praying for someone you're worshiping and going in on someone else's behalf, it also allows you to let go of any kind of negative emotions or feelings you were having about, you know, specific people.
That is really good.
Amen.
I am going to do
amen.
That. That's
amen.
Really a great visual. Thank you so much, Jordana.
Amen.
I love amen. What you said
amen.
Because too, when we worship, so then our own personal breakthrough and how we feed our hope through that magnifying and lifting up the one, the King of Kings, the King of Glory, and we give him our worship, then we actually pull down that hope and we release it over those that we love, our interpersonal relationships, and then we actually bring breakthrough. So we bring that hope down, and that is the breakthrough to shift the atmosphere in our homes, in our marriages, in our relationships with our kids. We bring that down, and that's kingdom. So that is a powerful thing. So I love when you said that's a way to feed your hope. Some other things that were brought to my mind is to unplug. To unplug ourselves from the negative portholes, you know, not listening to news for a little while, sitting in stillness, going off social media, those things that are going to pull us into those negative places. Listen to testimonies of breakthrough and healing. Listen to things like your show, Pat Randall, that are feeding, intentionally bringing forth truth and the word of God. Reading past prophecies, remembering words that have been spoken over you. So what has God said? And bring those fresh to mind and begin to reread those things and put them before our eyes. You know, and also giving thanks daily. What are we thankful for? What happened today that we can give gratitude and thanks? It shifts us very quickly into a heart posture of hope.
Absolutely. Amen.
Amen. I when you said that about gratitude and being thankful, sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I just start off going, thank you, thank you. And the more I say it, the more it begins to build within me. Because your prayer can be as simple as thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Just that simple. Just that simple. I mean, sometimes we get caught up in words, but communication is much more than words.
Yeah.
The experts say that words are 10% of what communication is. So you don't have to get trapped into words. And so it can, your prayers can be very, very simple, very simple. Mm-hmm. And you can be honest with God, because he already knows what you're thinking. He knows what you before you say it, okay? So just be honest with him. Tell him, you know, this is where I am, Lord. You know, I've lost, I just don't feel, I feel hopeless. And I don't want to stay here.
Yeah.
And talk to him about your fear. And talk to him knowing that he's also a friend. And he's listening. Mm-hmm. He's paying close attention to what you're saying and where you are. And just ask him to help you.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is the helper. He is the helper. He's the helper.
Amen. Really quick, that also makes me think about, you know, there's always this, especially in times like this, this conversation about mental health, which is important, and about making sure that you're stable in your mind. And when you were talking about just being honest with God about where you are, we sometimes...
Yeah.
We are more, we more easily share our thoughts and feelings with friends, or even if we are seeking professional help and we'll go to a therapist and we'll talk about all that stuff. But when we go to God, we're like, oh God, I just want to praise you. And I'm like, but that's not really where you are, right? Like, where you are is what the conversation you had with your best friend on the phone before you got on your knees, right? And so you don't have to divorce or separate those conversations.
No.
Like, God is the best therapist there is. He is the best, best friend there is. So you don't have to have different conversations with people or therapists and then just save all the, you know, all of the high and lofty conversations
That's
with God.
Good.
You can absolutely go to him and say, listen, I feel funky. I don't like it. Let's mix it up, Jesus. What are we gonna do? I have and you know, sometimes it makes people laugh, and that I do some of that on purpose is because I talk to God in a very real way. Like, I call him my boo.
because he is. And so he is much easier to talk to when you kind of let go of thinking that you have to show up in a certain way. I call him my boo. You can call him what you want to call him. You can come up with your own pet name for Jesus, but you can absolutely have those conversations that you would with a best friend when you're complaining about whatever. You can absolutely take all of that to God. Like, his shoulders are big enough, and he already knows anyway. And he's the only one with the real answer, for real. Everyone can give you advice, but he has the answer.
He has the answer because he is the answer. And then it's this exchange, right? So we have to exchange it with him and then receive what he has for us. We get to pour out and empty ourselves and our emotions. And, like, that's the thing. God cares how you feel. It's this invitation to trust and intimacy because he cares about us. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. So that is the greatest truth someone needs to hear right now. That's one of the biggest lies that the enemy has tried to block your intimacy because you're thinking, I have to show up to God and be perfect. I have to clean myself up before I get there. No, come as you are. Come as you are, vulnerable, naked and unashamed, and pour out your heart. And he is the one who administers comfort, peace, joy. He has the answers. And so that's so beautiful, Jordana. Thank you for that.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And, you know, and Stephanie, when you said that, because he is the answer, what I thought about every time I come to him with something, he gives me a part of himself.
Yeah.
So the more I keep coming, the more of himself he gives me.
Wow. Yes. Right.
Until it's just permeating through me. It starts to consume my life and goes into all those places, the hidden places, the dark places. It's like feeding, like when Jesus says feed on his body, you know, and people had a problem with that back in the day when he said that, because he was in flesh form, and all they could see was what they were thinking in the natural.
Right.
And he was thinking, like, what kind of craziness is this, feed on your body? I mean, what is that, you know? But that's what we're doing. We're feeding on him.
Yeah.
We're feeding on him. That's what we should be feeding us. You know, for too many years, people have been feeding on the wrong things.
Yeah.
We do that in the natural. You can see examples of that in the natural realm where we're eating too much of something that's really not good for us and our body is really not liking it. The same thing for our souls and for our spirits. We need to be feeding on the word. It's bread. It's our bread. That's where we get our nourishment. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God is so good. So good. So good.
He is
We're getting close to.
It went so fast.
I know it does because it gets so good. But I'm going to read the scripture about rest, right? Mm-hmm. Because once we get through and into that place where our hope is anchored in the Lord, it's going to put us in this place of rest. This rest that God has promised. And in Hebrews 4, and I'm going to start reading in verse 9. I'm going to read 9 through 11. So there, and this is out of the Living Bible. So there is a full, complete rest still waiting for the people of God. Christ has already entered there. He is resting from his work, just as God did after the creation. Let us do our best to go into that place of rest, too, being careful not to disobey God as the children of Israel did, thus failing to get in. And so the labor in entering into that rest is that process of dealing with what we're thinking and what we're believing. That's the war. That's the battle.
Yeah.
that we're
in. The battle of the mind.
It has a lot to do with our identity and what we are identifying
mm-hmm.
with.
Mm-hmm.
And so many lies have been told to us, and even
mm-hmm.
told to us by people who should love us
mm-hmm.
and care for us, who have told
mm-hmm.
us lies about who we are.
Yeah.
And it may have started from a childhood, but
mm-hmm.
I'm here to tell you, amen, that God can actually restructure all of those past experiences.
God.
And I'm a
mm-hmm.
witness. I'm a witness to that. When I look back, because I was subjected to sexual abuse
mm-hmm.
at a very early age, and how that sidetracked me. But that was all, you know, what the enemy wanted to do was to sidetrack me. But when I began to see through God's eyes and get full understanding of what was going on, first of all, we live in a broken world. We live in a world that where we're all interrelated, whether we want to be or not. We are impacted by one another, and you can see that
mm-hmm.
being demonstrated in the natural by this virus, how that can
mm-hmm.
be passed on. Well, we can pass
mm-hmm.
on other things to other people. We can pass on these negative thoughts, these negative emotions,
mm-hmm.
these negative words onto other people and
mm-hmm.
impact
mm-hmm.
other people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get our healing,
yeah,
and God shows us who we are, then we can begin
mm-hmm.
to look clearly and see people for who they really are. Even if they're broken, we can understand that this is a person who doesn't even know who they are. And so they're being subject to a dark power because they're not free. They're prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
They're prisoners. So the bottom line is for us to be free.
Mm-hmm.
To be free. To be completely free. And to be able
mm-hmm.
to look at anything that has happened to us in the past and understand that it has no power over us. Because it really doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
All that exists is a memory, and God can change that memory.
Yes, he can. He can heal that.
He can. Yes, he does. He does. He does. And so, Father, I thank you that even right now that you're speaking over those people,
mm-hmm.
you're surrounding them with your perfect love.
Yes, God.
You're changing how they see themselves based on past things that have happened, things that other people have done to them that was out of their control. But I thank you now, Lord God, that
mm-hmm.
you are giving them the authority and that power to step out of that prison cell and to step into this freedom where the fullness of your light is there.
Yes. God.
Glory
you,
to God, and your love is there.
Thank you, Lord.
And all of the things that happened to them in the past, that's all part of the old man, because now they are a
mm-hmm.
new creation.
Yes, God.
And old things have passed away. The old things have passed away, and they are a new creation. So I thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you that you love us so much.
And
there's nothing
so
that
much,
you cannot
Jesus.
Heal. There's nothing that you cannot heal in our minds and in our bodies. There's nothing that you cannot heal. You are Rapha.
Mm-hmm.
You are
thank
our
you,
healer. We thank you, Lord God. I thank you for your quickening power that's taking place right now. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Lord.
Jesus. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God. Okay, so we got to finish this up. We're going to wrap this up. So who wants to say something in closing? Well, Jordana, you should say something. Stephanie, you should say something. And then we're going to close out.
And amen.
I want Jordana to wrap it up with the nutshell. So I'll go after you, and then Jordana is our big finisher. She's the closer.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay, so Hosea 2:15. This is a word for someone who is literally being crossing over right now. There's an open door. There's a gateway of hope that is opening, and someone is right now. They have that hopeless pit and despair, and so I'm just going to release this word. I will return her vineyards to her. So this is speaking of restoration, and transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. She will give herself to me there as she did long ago when she was young, when I freed her from her captivity in Egypt. So I believe that that actually happened during your prayer, Pat, there was a crossing over out of the valley of trouble in through the gateway of hope. And there's a restoration of things that were lost and stolen, bringing her, him. It's not about a woman, but it's about a coming out of something, being restored, crossing through that threshold of hope and coming out, being freed from captivity. And so we just say yes and amen to that very thing in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The funny thing is I have the last things that are ruminating in my spirit are two prophetic worship lines from my girl Amanda Cook from out of Bethel. One of the things that she sang was about rewriting your history.
Yes.
To places, into your past, into previous circumstances, and he can remove the pain and the trauma associated with things that have happened in your past. So I thank you right now that you are rewriting the histories of your people, God.
Yes,
I thank you that you are releasing your healing, Lord God, that you are removing pain, you are removing trauma, Lord God, that people aren't still continuing to feel the negative effects of things that have happened in their past,
thank you,
God.
Lord.
So I bless you for that, God.
Yes, God.
The other one that I was thinking about, too, came to mind, and I'm just going to, sing it, super briefly. It goes, isn't it just like God to turn our disappointments into a dance floor? Oh, isn't it just like God to turn our disappointments into a dance floor?
Yes.
And it just makes me think about how sometimes we can lose our hope and joy because we've been disappointed, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are things that we thought were going to happen or we thought were going to show up in a certain kind of way.
Yeah.
And God wants to turn your disappointments into a dance floor. He wants you to shout and praise him all over those disappointments because he is faithful. And he loves you and he sees you. And like we have said over this broadcast, no good thing will he withhold from you. So, step one, say it again, just say yes. And step two, think another thought. Pick a word that encourages you and chew on that word until the change comes. Amen.
Amen. Oh, good.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, God.
You were talking about disappointment. I said, disappointment is just a smoke screen.
Yep.
It's a smoke screen. And once we start to live our lives and walk by the Spirit, there won't be any disappointment because we understand that there are times and there are seasons that God is always moving and acting on my behalf. So I don't need to be disappointed. And my expectation then shifts from situations, circumstances, and people, and my expectations shift toward the Lord.
Yeah.
I patiently wait on him because I know he has the perfect time. He has the perfect time for everything, and it's always for my best, my highest good.
Yeah.
Always. It always is. Amen. So we're going to close this hour out. I just want to remind you that tomorrow night is Friday Night Joy with Pastor Ray Rose, so 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so make sure to just check in. I want to thank my guest co-host and my spiritual daughter, Stephanie, for joining me during this hour. Amen. And my natural daughter and also a spiritual daughter, Jordana, thank you for being with us on the broadcast today. So we are checking out. So be blessed for the rest of the day. We love you, and we will continue to intercede. Amen. Because that's what we do. We intercede. Amen. Praise God. So God bless you.
Amen. Thank you for inviting me. What an honor. What a joy.
Bye.
Amen.
Bye.
Praise
God. Bless you guys.
Bye.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Love you.